fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jerry Moore here on Wednesday. It is Wednesday, the 5th day of April. The purpose of the day is to go backpacking. That means everything you need to sustain yourself, shelter, food, water, medical supplies, defense equipment, communications equipment, is carried on your back. No car, truck nearby with all the fun stuff. Just go backpacking. We have patient Wayne Green and my friend Jeff Nyquist. Jeff began a quest about 37 years ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with the International Communist Conspiracy. He sat across the interview table from a number of high-level KGB defectors. He's the author of 6 books available for sale on Amazon.com. And his website is jrnyquist.blog. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Good to have you with us, sir, as always. We have a thunderstorm here in my neighborhood, and the spring flowers are blooming. But we also have our first caller on hold here, our regular caller, Thomas in Germany. Good morning, Thomas.
Greetings. Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Nyquist, after discovering your perspective after your coverage of the May 14th recording of the Guangdong meeting, it's changed what I see. Anyways, especially the last weeks, they have been full of gestures of alliance, towards China, offered by a variety of countries like Brazil, Saudi Arabia, Mexico, etc. So my question is, could these foreign policy signals be considered as what they should be in war, namely a clear signal of friend or foe, meaning should the U.S. treat these former allies now as enemies and move forward because the gestures and the timing hit like daggers?
Yeah, it's interesting that the Russians and Chinese can form this one clenched fist that the defector Anatoly Golitsyn warned about in 1984 when he said that the Sino-Soviet split was a long-range deception strategy, that we can see them coming together in broad daylight, and people still don't want to talk about it. People who I know, who know better, don't want to really talk about it. they want to diminish Russia as a partner. Oh, Russia, you know, Putin is China's Mussolini. You know, the real threat is China. They don't want to help Ukraine. They don't understand that if you put pressure on Russia, you're putting pressure on China. If you're putting pressure on China, you're putting it on Russia. And they allow China an economic free hand. When China is pulling the cart, when China economically is the economic outlet and machine, you know, China is building things that and sending things to Russia to help Russia's economy, to help Russia get through there. Look at the manufacturing capacity of China. And China has wooed Saudi Arabia away from the West. Yes. Even as Biden has pushed him going out the door, pushed the Saudi princes out the door. So, and so as the United States follows a suicidal strategy, as Europe follows suicidal strategies, the Chinese and Russians, it's like their pincers are closing. And it's not just economic or even military, because the Chinese military operation hasn't started yet. But it is also political within Europe and within the United States. China is buying politicians and businessmen to flack for China. And the Russians have their agent networks on the other side and are wooing people on the right. And so you have people like Steve Bannon and Tucker Carlson, you know, in the American media, in American politics, pushing against Ukraine on behalf of Russia and China, but saying that China is the enemy. And then you have all these people, you know, in business who are also, you know, pushing, well, we have to have trade with China. We have to continue to invest in China. And that puts everybody who would, you know, if you give me $1 billion, you're now on the hook to me because I'm holding your money. You know, if you're building plants in my country, I could nationalize that those plants and ruin you. So you have to make really nice with me, you know, whether you're a German company or a French company or an American company. And that neutralizes us politically.
And because things are happening fast. And it's really amazing. I thought this time would be a great time for anti-communist analysis because these countries like, you know, Mexico, like Brazil, like you know, voting on the UN level and joining with China, that these signals, they could be used to tell the bigger story. I guess they're not.
They're not because one of the things that happened is that 10 years ago, the left decided to posture as being anti-Russia. And they stole half the narrative, which, of course, they have so alienated patriotic opinion in the United States. If they're against Russia, then that means that we certainly have to be for Russia because we're against them. We're against Mr. Biden and Mr. Obama and the Clintons. So that has made it impossible. How can you have an anti-communist narrative against Russia when the people who are communists here are against Russia? See, that has been the most ingenious twist in the story that they've done. And, you know, these are all people that have helped Russia in the past massively. And suddenly, all at once, all of them, every last one of them did an about-face together. They were doing the Russian reset in 2009 and 2010 and 11. They gave billions for Russia to form its own Silicon Valley. They did the Uranium One deal here. And then all of a sudden, when Obama got caught being too friendly with the Russian President Medvedev, they suddenly all did this about face, and suddenly Russia was the bad guy. Well, that was their alibi, and that has been their deception. And then to accuse Trump of being a Russian puppet, and of course, they've been able to populate Trump's inner circle with people who are under Russian influence. So it's like people, voices like mine, that were picking up traction talking about communism. It's like, no, it's the narrative is now all the attention is over on this struggle in the United States, at least here, over elections and over the badness of the ruling party and wokeism and how they're really, you know, against Putin. So maybe Putin must be the good guy, or at least we should, like Tucker Carlson, at least we shouldn't be supporting that horrible, corrupt country, Ukraine. That's the most corrupt country in the world, although they passed through the same things we did, and we proved to be more corrupt than them. They flipped an election, and they drove their Russian puppet, their communist puppet, out of their government and outlawed the Communist Party in Ukraine. We haven't done that. We're too corrupt. We're more corrupt than the Ukrainians because we can't fix our corruption problem here. It's so entrenched. They, at least their people, stood up. Our people won't stand up. Too many folks will lose their jobs. And they don't want it. They want to win. So they're fudging what they're saying. I know people who know exactly what I know, who are in politics, and they won't say what I'm saying. I know. I've talked to them. They know all these things. They just, well, you can't say that, you know. That'll ruin us. I don't know why you're so honest and you say it. Well, gosh, I can't believe it. If you stood up with me and those people over there stood up with me, we would actually be able to get through to the public, maybe. It was just me all by myself. But, and so everybody gets sucked down this rabbit hole. And they don't hear the real narrative.
As a perspective forward, you know, you see now these alliances, economic alliances, energy alliances. The U.S. seems to be, you know, having a bad neighborhood around. So what's left is going to be, you know, the core U.S., a conservative majority of the people, probably going, you know, through a hard time, and a Christian revival. Could you find some words, you know, going into a good 10 years ahead where somehow, you know, the U.S. survives. But then obviously, and that's what my question is, kind of, would you expect the U.S. losing all its allies, or just now temporarily losing them because they're afraid, and then coming back once, you know, or is there a way back, you know, when you're false to Russia? Is there even a way back?
Well, the Russians and the Chinese, they had so puppeted the left during the Cold War that they were very confident they could hold on to the left. And what their strategy did of trying to, the scissors strategy of acquiring the right, of trying to influence the right in the same way they had made useful idiots out of the left, they have splintered the left in the process of doing it, which has long-term consequences for, especially in Europe, for the Europeans thinking, many Europeans who are on the left thinking, wait a minute, Russia are the bad guys, maybe China is too. And so I think there's a, the things are up in the air for that. And I think the other thing is that you know, every political maneuver, every strategic maneuver carries in it the seeds of its own defeat. And the problem the Russians and Chinese have is consummating. I've given this analogy before. It's like they're asking us, they're telling us to do things like they've done in Germany, in your country, you know, shut down your nuclear power plants or become dependent on Russian gas, destroy the economy as much as you can. But the problem is people end up, when it's like a one-trick pony. When do they run out of the tricks when people go, wait a minute, we can't do this. This is not going to work. When they realize the consequences, that it is suicidal. And because I think their timing was thrown off by Ukraine's defense, it would think about how much stronger it would have been. And I guess there was a mild winter in Europe. Is that correct?
So that's correct.
It wasn't as cold. So that didn't work out for them either. So a bunch of things don't go right for them. And then you have this problem where they're trying to talk us into this suicide. And as it goes along, you know, here, dig this hole in the ground. Okay, we dug the hole in the ground. Now climb into the hole. Yeah, now lie down. And now we pour dirt over you. That's when people stand up. And I think they may realize, Moscow and Beijing, that they, because NATO stood up for Ukraine, because even Biden was forced to by the political currents within his own party. And I heard about high-level arguments among people I would have never thought would take that position. So the Russian propaganda of trying to make make itself, you know, have its own left-wing people denounce it, they were only an elite small group. You had the rest of the left who were following you were saying, you know, we think Putin's bad. We're going to go against him. So suddenly they can't get everybody to get on the trolley to make the thing, the final convergence strategy work. So they have to now try to divide us and get us to fight them each other as they advance. And they're looking at that they're going to have to make these military moves. And this is not what they're good at. They're not good at these military moves. And it's going to be interesting in what happens in the United States, because people are getting more and more upset at the government. The economic policies are the wrong ones. The business community knows it. And in Germany and in France, they're having their own wake-ups. It's very gradual. It's painful. And then you have the distracting narratives that's delaying people really realizing the game. But Russia and China have to announce their alliance in some way to signal their own people. Because if they're going to war, the most important thing in war, according to communist textbooks from the Cold War era, is to orient your people toward the enemy and prepare them for war. And this is what they've been doing in China and Russia. And the war in Ukraine is an example. They were started preparing their people for war in Russia in 2014. And we could go back to April of 2014 when the Russian media turned on this severe anti-Americanism and anti-NATO rhetoric. And, when the revolution happened, when the Euromaidan revolution happened in Ukraine, you knew that they were going to go to war. And that they were patiently waiting for the Chinese to be ready. And so the Chinese got themselves ready. And now, with this stumble, they're trying to feel their way through it. And this is what's really dangerous for them. If they go to nukes, they could destroy some places and kill people. But nuclear weapons are not generally to be used against cities and to exterminate people. That's for biological weapons. The nuclear weapons are to take out other weapons. They're really good at destroying military bases and military infrastructure and other people's missiles and nuclear weapons. And of course, they're going to want to keep weapons in reserve, because imagine a war. How do you know you got everything? You don't. So you got to be careful that you don't run out before the other side, because there's a thing called strategic nuclear supremacy. When you control nukes and the other side doesn't, and you can try to then use that to compel the other side to surrender. So that would be their end game now, that we see their conventional militaries are not up to the task of clearing out even a country like Ukraine, which is really striking. And I think, you know, the Chinese, their last exercises are not to invade Taiwan, but to blockade it, which indicates that they know they don't have the capability to take Taiwan in a direct invasion, because the lessons that have been learned, you know, there hasn't been a major war like this for many years, and how the weapons exactly work on this scale, they're just finding out. You know, tanks aren't that useful, right? And what's useful is artillery and rockets and infantry. So, wow, what a surprise. But you don't know until you get into it. You know, a battle like the war in U.S. invasion of Iraq, that was not an equal fight. You know, the Iraqi army was not up to the level of training or preparedness that our army was. So we didn't really, nobody really learned what a war between peer enemies would be like. Well, the Ukrainian, man for man, the Ukrainian army is a little better than the Russian army, it turns out. They're more motivated and they are a little more ingenious in how their troops operate. So then there you have this deadlock.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, Thomas, thank you for the call as always. We appreciate it. The call number is 512-248-8252. We have a break. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Fix bayonet.
Nicole Colgren, wherefore many men have
okay, we're back, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. This hour is sponsored by the Energy Cleaner. My Easter sale is in effect right now until midnight, Easter Sunday. $25 off energy cleaners, 25% off mattress pads. When you place your order, I do the sale price refund manually at my website, or when you call my toll-free hour line, that's 800-592-9543. Building with Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog, books for sale at Amazon. Jeff, it's a very simple, straightforward way for people to subscribe to your website. How do they do that, please?
There's a PayPal button below every video or article.
Very simple. And the call number is 512-248-8252. So, Jeff, we have to give credit where credit is due. Our opposition, I refer to the coalition as the socialists, communists, Democrats, Muslims, they understand human nature And they're very good at manipulating human nature, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, they have strategies. They have a bag of tricks that's sophisticated that comes from ancient bags of tricks of the Chinese emperors and the Russian czars, autocratic governments, for controlling people. And they use them. It's a cultural heritage of both Russia and China. And then the communist revolutionary heritage, which has its own Machiavellian, background.
Machiavellian, where they do whatever they need to do to succeed, correct?
Yeah, that's right. That
and
is
of course, you're referring to, this is, comes from the book titled The Prince, doesn't it?
Yeah, Machiavelli was famous for writing The Prince. Also, the his commentaries on the first 10 books of Livy. Those are largely The Prince, but also the other book. So are the main ones that people look to for the Machiavelli's insights. Which were the main thing that he was most infamous for in The Prince was the statement that a prince's it would be nice if princes kept their word, and they ought to do so. Princes who've achieved great things have achieved great things by basically lying and deceiving, and that they can get away with it if you do it in the right way, because everybody can see what you seem to be. Very few know what you really are and are in close touch with you. And that those few dare not gainsay the many is how it reads. And that got Machiavelli pretty much condemned roundly because in his day, and especially in some of the times that followed in countries other than Italy, where honesty and honor were thought to be the number one thing, his name was then mud.
What period of time was he alive and writing books that he wrote?
He was writing in the early 16th century, early 1500s. He was around the same time, shortly after Columbus. He was a secretary in the government of his city-state. Now I'm blanking on it, but it's an Italian city in the north.
Okay, so is Italy. That's close enough for our.
Yeah,
purposes.
He was an Italian. His dream was to unify Italy, and he said one of his other infamous things he said was that if a patriot who would be willing to commit such crimes that he would condemn his soul to go to hell to save his country was real patriotism as far as Machiavelli was concerned.
So at the time. At the time, Italy was split up into various smaller subdivisions of government. Would that be a fair statement?
It was city-states, of the Renaissance in Italy. And of course, the papal states were a big problem. Then the Pope had these states and was very powerful, also had some military power. So you had, Venice was a city-state, and so on, Naples, and they all had their little states. So it was all divided up, and Italy was subject to invasion. The Renaissance ended when Spain invaded Italy, and France had invaded them before. And that really brought the Renaissance to an end. Spain was very Orthodox Catholic, and the Renaissance, there was a lot of free thinking going on. And of course that was what Columbus came out of.
We have about an hour break. We have a caller on hold. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the pandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes, and...
Stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong.
Let's put my arms around you, and we'll rock till the break of dawn. This feels like heaven, just you and me. This feels like heaven.
You're listening to RBN, in defense of the Republic.
Mr. Sandman, bring me
dear Liberty Man, my aches and pains are making it hard for me to sleep at night. Ugh, what's a girl to do? Signed, Sleepless in St. Louis.
Dear Sleepless, I recommend the Energy Cleaner. The Energy Cleaner transmits a healing electrostatic signal to every cell in your body, flushing out toxins, relieving pain, aiding with sleep. The Energy Cleaner is sold exclusively at my website, thelibertyman.com, and Sleepless, there's a bonus. Signed, The Liberty Man.
Thanks to the Energy Cleaner, I'm sleepless no more. And let's just say there's plenty more going on in my bedroom than dreams and snoring. I've got to go. He's at the door.
I was in the land of cotton wool, town there I'm not forgotten. Look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, Dixieland.
My website is thelibertyman.com. There's a lot there. Information that will entertain, educate, inform, make you happy, make you sad, make you angry. Seriously, over 9 gigabytes of information being added to pretty much every day of the week. Products that will help you achieve your goals. And we have sales on two of those products right now. The Liberated Rocket Heater is on sale. The April sale is in effect until midnight the 29th. $500 off the rocket heater. That's a substantial savings, which more than pays for a pellet hopper, by the way. That's a sale price for the rocket heater delivered to your door in the lower 48. You need to take advantage of that. You want to get ready for winter. This would be the time to do it. And the Energy Cleaner sale, the Easter sale, Energy Cleaner on sale until midnight Easter Sunday. $25 off Energy Cleaners, 25% off the mattress pads. I refund the sale price manually. You place your order for your Energy Cleaner, your rocket heater, right there at my website at thelibertyman.com. My toll-free hour line, they don't have a clue about the sales, by the way. Toll-free hour line is 800-592-9543. Building with Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. His book for sale at amazon.com. Jeff, our next caller is John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Hello. I have a question about Johann Hegel. It seems like he was very much, the meaning of his philosophy has been much debated and searched out, and there have been many conflicting interpretations of it. Is it possible that he did that deliberately to make it so ambiguous, so that you would have to, that many would come up with it, you know, would search through it constantly to possibly to influence their thinking? And was he possibly like a Stanley Kubrick of late 18th, early 19th century philosophers in the fascination of digging out the meaning of his philosophy? Is that possible? Just like the people were digging out the meaning of 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Jeff, you're on mute there, Jeff.
Yeah, well, people have been arguing about what Hegel meant. I don't know whether Hegel purposely wanted to be unclear. I think the problem with Hegel is it's very complicated. And people who get into Hegel now are people who like complicated things, right? So they get into it because they're smart, and it kind of helps them show off that they're smart. But the political philosopher Erich Fergelin, who was educated in Vienna and ended up teaching at the LSU in the United States because he was against Nazism, and he fled the Anschluss in 1938 when Hitler took over Austria. He said that Hegel was a swindler, basically, that Hegel was sort of like a magician. He was using very arcane means to vindicate the monarchy, the system in Prussia, in terms of his political position. He was a conservative, not a leftist. And so part of the ideology of the monarchy, which there were problems with, as people could see now historically, stemmed from, you know, people really buying into this to support it. But it wasn't, you know, I mean, Karl Marx picked it up, but Karl Marx just borrowed some ideas, and Marx's dialectic was not Hegel's. It was not. So I hope that clarified. You've called about this subject before. Why are you so caught up in Hegel?
No, I mean, is there any similarity or between the fascination with him and the fascination, because they were both esoteric people, and the fact that they may have been obscurantist methodologies to
Erich Fergelin said that Marx was a swindler too. And Fergelin was a guy that was one of the best educated people of his generation. So he was in a position to know what they were fudging on, even if other people couldn't. And what Fergelin said about Marxists in general was, it's a pseudo-Marxist grotesque, because most Marxists don't have the education or the intellect to even understand or read Marx, because Marx is very difficult to read if you go back and read him. So, you know, it's and how many Marxists and how many leftists actually have read Marx? You know, the Communist Manifesto. Well, that's the easy one to read, but that's not where the core of the philosophy is. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, John?
That's all for now. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Call number is 512-248-8252. Jeff, what direction would you like to go next, sir?
Well, I'm surprised, John, you didn't read my latest column, which was about UFOs.
Well, I need to do that, don't I? It's a fascinating topic, and would you like to give us a summary of the article, please, sir?
Well, you know, the subject is enormously complicated. So, but one of the things I am interested in is the development of weapons around UFOs, and that there was the Russian, under the Soviet Union, there was a Russian rocket forces general who dropped some hints. And he described the UFO as a kind of almost like a natural phenomenon, like a form of energy that could be exploited and that could be used. And Putin wrote a paper back in 2012 in which he mentioned psychotronic weapons, which this Rocket Forces general wrote about. And what I didn't know, I found a U.S. Air Force from the Foreign Technology Division of the Air Force. They found a document about what the Air Force intelligence was learning about what the Russians were doing in their paranormal research, that the Russians actually had a program to find people who were psychic in the Soviet population in the 1960s to get super psychics to use as weapons, and that this was taken very seriously in Russia, and that they had conducted a telepathy experiment, which was considered by that, at that time the most successful one ever conducted, in which I think, if I remember the numbers right, they had a fellow picking a number between 1 and 10 in one room, and then there was a one of these psychic people had to say what the number was. So out of 135 instances, the guy guessed right 110 times. Which is way above chance. You know, by chance, they should have only gotten 13 or 14 right. But in this instance, 110 right. So that's not just guessing. That's something spooky is going on there. So the Russians, and then these psychotronic weapons were described as, Putin described them as more powerful or as powerful as nuclear weapons. But without the consequences of nuclear weapons. Now, what are they? The only thing I could find in the literature so far is that they can basically brainwash or influence people at a distance. How they do this, I don't know. You know, they're not giving away their secrets. But that was kind of intriguing, and that they connected it with UFOs. They had this idea it was connected to UFOs. Yeah. And then there, of course, is the very bizarre testimony. I think everybody should watch Annie Jacobson's interview with Joe Rogan, because it's and Annie Jacobson wrote a book on Area 51. She's a very good journalist. She did a book on these psychotronic type weapons, or whatever they are, that were being developed with the in the United States. The tests that were done on Uri Geller in the 70s, and the fact that we had a super psychic that was as good as Geller, but that it is suspected the Russians assassinated him. And she goes through this. Her book is quite fascinating about the terrible illnesses that people can get working on these spooky physics projects, and how, you know, the kind of things that happened when our most advanced scientists studied Uri Geller. I mean, it's incredible. But her book on Area 51 and aliens, she had this older physicist who'd been in the Manhattan Project, who was in his early 90s, you know, break down and cry in front of her and make this confession. And this is very bizarre. And she, you know, if you watch her, she's not lying. And the story doesn't seem to be a lie in the sense that somebody doing this old physicist, wouldn't be able to put on this emotional show for her. And of course, his wife was involved in this too, in being surprised that he told her. But according to Jacobson, the Roswell crash was the Soviets had made a flying saucer and they had operated on children to make them look like aliens. And their plan was to launch the thing from Mexico, hop across the border, land, have a kind of appearance, and then slip back across the border. Only the thing crashed. And maybe there were two of them. I don't know. But it crashed. And then, of course, it caused a bit of a furor in the U.S. military, but they figured out that these were because they captured it. And that wasn't the Russian intention. You know, Stalin had this War of the Worlds, like we're going to panic the Americans. He saw some kind of psychological warfare value in it. And of course, the phenomenon is, you know, has been going on throughout history. So to exploit the phenomenon, which is kind of what this Russian Rocket Forces general was talking about in you know, 10 to 20 years ago in his different writings, Matt does match up with this. And of course, the UFO community, people who are into the subject, really have been dismissive about Annie Jacobson's information. But the very fact that a crashed UFO is not sitting in the Smithsonian next to the Apollo 11 command module exhibit or module exhibit is kind of strange after all this time. There is some kind of Cold War veil of secrecy over this whole subject. But the reason that the physicists broke down in tears is because the U.S. government then tried to create aliens out of Down syndrome children. And he's participated in this, apparently. And he ended up with a Down syndrome grandson that he thought that God was punishing him for what he did. And Jacobson asked him, "Why are you confessing to me? Why aren't you telling a priest?" And he said, "Because I know you wouldn't judge me." So everybody should see that interview, because it adds a different color. And one of the things I would say about the UFO phenomenon is that the leading scientist studying UFOs the past 60 years was Jacques Vallée. You know, he was Hynek's assistant at Blue Book. And he divides the phenomenon into three different complexities. One is, that there is some kind of technology, that it could be from another planet, or it could be interdimensional, or it could be supernatural. And then he, after 60 years, he doesn't know what they are. And then he said the other thing, complexity, is that governments and intelligence services and militaries exploit the phenomenon. That is, he wrote a book in which he documented where the French, Americans, and the Soviets have all faked UFO incidents and even abductions. The French faked an abduction, a UFO alien abduction. They faked one.
Really?
Created it, yeah. He documents it in the book. And, of course, the Russians and Americans, we have engaged in similar things. And, of course, this is an opportunity to use hypnosis and mind control drugs, experimental mind control drugs on people who you know, you're basically kidnapping people. And of course, this is extremely disturbing aspect, because what is aliens and what is mind control drugs having been used on people that they see aliens then, and if they've been hypnotized? So that confuses the issue further. And and of course, then there is the occult aspect of the phenomenon. The fact that the UFO phenomenon as we know it today has this resemblance to the reported phenomenon of demonology and angelology going back. We have writings and thick tomes of writings going back centuries by church fathers and philosophers, and we even have sophisticated explanations. You have, for example, St. Thomas Aquinas' book on evil, which I quote from, where he gives the arguments, you know, he presents the arguments about whether demons have actual bodies or not, which is like, wait a minute, demons have bodies. And of course, you know, St. Augustine and Dionysius and a number of ancient philosophers thought the demons had bodies, subtle bodies, right? And of course, you have in the UFO literature, Velli even wrote a book about how this literature so closely resembles the UFO literature. So we have the complexity. What are these things? And so after 60 years, Velli says, I don't know. And then you have the deception of governments. And you have the political agendas of people. Because since people don't believe in God anymore, maybe they'll believe in a UFO alien. And of course, all governments in the past until recently, there was this vertical where people looked to God. The Pope crowned the emperor, right? The high priest stood next to the king.
We get back, we're going to have Jeff's summary. When we get back, we're going to have Jeff's summary. We'll be right back.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Rebs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, you take the left wing. I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Jeff, got about 2.5-3 minutes here to summarize your thoughts for the week, the most important information you want to get across to these folks.
Well, going back to the UFO thing, There is the other dimension of U.S. Secret weapons and possible secret weapons that the Russians are developing with cutting edge physics. And I remember years ago when I spoke in New Mexico, a physicist took me out for a dinner afterwards. And he told me that his understanding was that the UFO phenomenon was used as a sort of a cover for cutting-edge physics. Now, where that would come from, how we would learn certain things, you look through the literature and you say there's something there. I talk about Ross Coulthart's book, and I don't know if you've seen it, In Plain Sight, where it's a very important book on UFOs. The one thing that he shows is that there are secret programs in the United States, and they cover those programs by saying that they're working on recovered, crashed alien vehicles. Although the people, and there is some kind of material that they apparently possess in Wright-Patterson from one of these things. And of course, Valli talks about having metal that have been gotten off of these things. And Valli says, look, just because it's a solid object doesn't mean we know where it's from. And he even postulates, the theory that there's somebody somewhere in the world that has had this technology, maybe has had the technology for hundreds of years, that it may be a human source for this, because maybe there was a civilization on this planet before a catastrophic flood that has been spoken of in the folklore of all the countries and peoples on all the continents, from the Aborigines to the American Indians to the Europeans and the Chinese and Japanese. So we just don't know what this thing is yet. But it has a psychic a component to it. And so I think it's have you heard of this Chris Bledsoe in North Carolina?
I have not. Tell us about him.
Chris Bledsoe was a Baptist down there who started seeing orbs, flying orbs. He had missing time and so on. He ended up seeing a woman that that to many Catholics appears to be a Marian apparition, who gave him apocalyptic prophecies. And he saw these beings coming out of the orbs. And he's videoed them. He has people, scientists from NASA, the colonel that worked on the paranormal for the Pentagon. I think his name is John Alexander, and other folks. His introduction to his book is written by a CIA, retired CIA official.
Okay, Jeff, thank you. We appreciate it as always. We'll have you back next week.
All right, you bet.
That's it for the day. Get your medical supplies, your energy, cleaning, essential oils. Now, while you can, your firearms, ammunition, never ever give up your guns. Please, fun, safe, productive day. God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri. Lord, beautiful state of Missouri I get to live in. The even larger, beautiful state of Texas. And Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store
or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.